This is the Todd Wright Toddcast. It is presented by Brandon Legal Group. They are huge supporters of Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments, as evidenced again over the weekend at Todd Wright Tour 23. When you are in need of legal assistance, you need not ask what type of law Brandon Legal Group specializes in. They are a full-service law firm, and they service the greater Tampa Bay area. You need not live nor work in Brandon, Florida. Call anytime for a free consult, 844-4BLG4ME, 844-4BLG4ME, or visit BrandonLegalGroup.com. Brandon Legal Group not only bought the first foursome in the most recent Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournament, but they provided not one, but two gift baskets for my players. A gift basket and free bowling plus one for all my players provided by Pin Chasers, Anthony Peroni, a huge supporter of the Todd Wright Tour as well. And I just reached out to Anthony a little earlier today because one of my ex-girlfriends asked me if I could help set up her son, who, dare I say, she would even agree, I love more than her, has a birthday coming up, and he and 11 of his closest friends would like to celebrate it at Pin Chasers. Anthony Peroni and Pin Chasers specialize in kids bowling parties and cyber bowling parties and office bowling parties and group outings and late night specials, the breakfast bowl 7 days a week. They had the Super Bowling at Pin Chasers just the other day, starting at 5 p.m. Among the late night specials, my favorite is Tuesdays, the Pizza Bowl. $10.99 gets you both unlimited bowling and unlimited pizza. Remember, you never pay for your shoe rental at Pin Chasers, and even if you need socks, just ask them and they will provide you a new pair to wear. Go to pinchasers.net or follow Pin Chasers on Facebook to stay connected and learn of all their promotions and all their specials. And a big fundraiser coming up with my friend Drew Garabo. Drew Garabo's Down to Bowl is at Pin Chasers Midtown on Saturday, February 29th, with all proceeds benefiting the Down Syndrome Association. For more information on that, go to 1025thebone.com and find out more. This is the first podcast I'm doing after the completion of the 2019 football season and postseason. I enjoyed watching the game in the comfort of a great friend's home, him, his fiance, his best friend, another friend of his, great friend of mine, half of our Fantasy Football Foundation League was there, his mom and dad. Ray is a trip. Just enjoyable environment with all the food and beverages we could ask for, and just being entertained by a game that none of us had any interest in who won or lost based on our rooting interest of the teams themselves. When I came home from the game for the first time, I didn't want any post-game on a Super Bowl. None. I watched the game. I knew what I saw. I had enough. And I kind of felt that way throughout Monday. It is now Monday evening when I'm recording this. Now, I picked up some things via normal circumstances by listening to my friend Drew Garabo's show on 1025 The Bone in Tampa Bay. I always watch PTI and have ever since that show began at 5:30 Eastern time on ESPN television. Other than that, and most of my social media activity on Sunday and Monday was involved with my golf tournaments. Sure, I saw some things other people were posting and saying, but I wasn't spending a lot of time on it, but I picked up enough on what the pulse is. I'll get to those things in a later Toddcast. I just want to focus on what I saw, and it all starts going back to the Toddcast I did before the Super Bowl, where I ran through some of the Vegas props, and I brought up the one that had Jimmy Garoppolo's over-under on pass attempts at 29.5. That was Vegas telling you that they felt strongly that the Niners' game plan that worked from start to finish against the Vikings and start to finish against Green Bay is not going to work start to finish against the Chiefs. And you're saying, well, then why didn't they make the Chiefs a better favorite? Vegas was kind of stuck on that number Had they pushed it higher on the Chiefs, they would have had too big of a liability on money coming in on the 49ers. And I don't think they felt strongly enough to simply make it a game where the 49ers were favored. I think partly because of that Jimmy Garoppolo 29.5 pass attempts. Vegas was basically dead on with the pass attempts. Sure, they were off by 1.5. But considering how many times a ball gets thrown in a professional football game these days, they were right there. And to me, that was one of the most telling things from experts leading up to the game. If you think the Niners can do to the Chiefs what they did to the Vikings and Packers, it ain't gonna happen. And that's where I bought in. Because remember also in a previous podcast, I had said to you that, you know, the Titans had much the same game plan as the 49ers. And it worked for about a quarter and a half. The Chiefs overcame it, started making the Titans get out of their comfort zone, play from behind the chains, panic, and game over. Can't keep up with the Chiefs at that point. Chiefs had come back from double digits down against the Texans. Chiefs had come back from double digits down against the Titans. Chiefs were double digits down against the Niners. And granted, Patrick Mahomes didn't look good, not physically, just his performance. But you still looked at him and said, he still may figure this out. And once he hit on that, 40-plus yard pass to Tyreek Hill, it wasn't a pretty throw. The only thing that wasn't as pretty as the throw was the coverage by the 49ers. That got things moving in the right direction. Chiefs needed points there to make it a one-score game. They didn't just get points. They got 7. Puts more heat on the opposing sideline. Niners don't move the ball. They punt it. Chiefs come right back down. Score again. Now they have the lead. Now more pressure on that sideline. Now Niners down 4. Robbie Gould can't help you in this situation, as good as he is. You've got to go length of the field. You've got to put it in the end zone. And the ball was in Jimmy Garoppolo's hands, as it was on some of those earlier drives. He didn't come through. What was he, 3 of 11 for under 40 yards? Got him to midfield, down 24-20, and gained no yardage in 4 plays. None. Chiefs take over a couple of plays later. Niners cheating up, hoping, knowing the run is coming, hoping to stop it and somehow get the ball back. Damian Williams breaks containment, gone, game over. The interception that Garoppolo threw on the first play after that is essentially irrelevant because the game was over on Williams scoring that touchdown with over a minute left, and everybody knew it. So you look at Garoppolo's pass attempts, the difference in the game plan, the ability of Mahomes to do things when it counted as opposed to Garoppolo. There is one thing, and I don't dislike the 49ers, but this was one of those games where if the Niners had held on to win, I think what we would have heard out of a lot of people on the Niners, Kittle, a little bit of Garoppolo, probably a lot of Richard Sherman, John Bosa, John or Nick, the Bosa on the Niners, sorry, is nobody believed in us. Yeah, well, guess the somebodies were right. Because if that's what you were going to say after winning the game, I don't see any of you stepping to the mic after the game and saying, nobody thought we'd win, and you know what? They were right. We lost. I know no one's ever going to say that, but I'm so tired of it that I kind of like rubbing it in people's faces when I know they're going to use it. And in this case, the Niners didn't. The running game not only wasn't as efficient and dominating as it was in previous playoff games for the Niners, it was matched by the Chiefs. Damian Williams' rushing attempts were the exact same number of rushing attempts from Mostert and Coleman combined. Williams, sure, he had the big run late, but he ended up with more yardage than Mostert and Coleman combined. I take Deebo Samuel's runs out. I think he's a very talented player, but I don't count that as part of a sustained power rushing attack that the Niners showcased in the previous two playoff games. It wasn't like the Chiefs beat the Niners at their own game. The Chiefs just did not allow the Niners to win at their own game. Which brings us to Kyle Shanahan, who is now saddled with, and this is an unbelievable number. In two of the last four Super Bowls, Kyle Shanahan, play calling, his teams have been outscored after the third quarter. Man, it's bad. 46-0. You can't score. You have the lead. Super Bowl 51. Score one more time. That's it. Score one more time. Super Bowl 54. Score one more time up 20-10. Get in the end zone one more time. Put it away. Nope. Outscored 46-0 after the third quarter of your two Super Bowls as a play caller. That's shit. Now, I do intrinsically hear how many people are happy for Andy Reid. I don't think that's a bad thing at all. Andy is actually only like the fifth or sixth oldest coach in the National Football League. He's not the old guy. The old guy is Pete Carroll, believe it or not. He's older than Belichick, who's older than Arians. And then Mike Zimmer is older than Andy Reid. Andy Reid is either fifth or sixth. But I get it. I got nothing against Andy Reid. I've never heard a bad thing about Andy Reid personally, as a person. Kyle Shanahan, the opposite. I know he can be a real prick. And where you hear players love their time with Andy Reid, it's just the opposite with Kyle Shanahan. Remember halfway through this past football season when the Falcons tried to hit the reset button halfway through the season and they moved two coaches from offense to defense, right? Sounds kind of weird. One of them was Raheem Morris, who people in Tampa Bay probably were stunned to find out why was he coaching offense in the first place? Raheem Morris is a defensive guy. The truth of the story is, going back to the Atlanta days when Kyle Shanahan was there, the Falcons had to move coaches from defense to offense because so many players on the offensive side hated Kyle Shanahan so much, they needed to bring coaches in that would actually talk to them, that it would actually listen to them and calm them down and kind of serve as a buffer because of the behavior and the attitude of Kyle Shanahan towards players on the offensive side of the ball. That's how much of a dick he can be to his own players, that you got to pull over defensive coaches who get along with players just to make it a better culture. Yeah. Well, maybe Kyle got what was coming to him again. Not a good fourth quarter. Again. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs come from behind by double digits. Again. And the Chiefs get their first win in a Super Bowl in 50 years. You know, I did an entire Toddcast a while back about how Leroy Selman made the top 100 and not the loudmouth fatso, number 99 for the Bucks. And I said, see, good guys don't always finish last. Maybe this Super Bowl is more evidence of that. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Pin Chasers. Go to pinchasers.net or follow Pin Chasers on Facebook for their specials to stay connected with them. And remember, they are not only a last-minute destination, an inexpensive date destination, destination for league play, group outings, so much more at Pin Chasers. Also, the Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group. I am indebted to the support Brandon Legal Group provides to Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments. I thank them sincerely for that. And I just remind all of you, when you are in need of legal assistance, Brandon Legal Group is a full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. You can call them anytime for a free consult, 844-4-BLG-4ME, 844-4-BLG-4ME, BrandonLegalGroup.com. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Todd Wright Toddcast. We'll talk to you again in just a little bit.